Now, I want you to welcome T.J. Masker with AFA, the Agriculture Future of America, who is also fresh from Hill Visits today. He is a senior agriculture business major at Iowa State University. He's been a member of the AFA student advisory team 2 years. When he graduates this spring, he'll be starting as an ag finance specialist with Water Street Solutions. So if you're a farmer needing a loan, here he is, T.J. Masker.
Thank you, Orion. I'm not sure my parents are going to believe that I got introduced by Orion Samuelson today, but I see we have it on video, so I'll be fine. Good afternoon. Jonathan Copus recently joined the Senate Agriculture Committee as chief counsel after having served the last 2 years at the USDA as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency. Prior to working for the USDA, he was legislative aide to Senator Ben Nelson, a member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, where he advised him on agriculture, energy, and environmental and trade policies, including the 2008 Farm Bill. Jonathan was born and raised on his family's corn and soybean farm in western Ohio, received his bachelor's from Miami University and his law degree from George Washington University. He also worked in Chicago as a commercial litigator before moving to Washington to pursue work on agriculture policies in the Senate. Please help me welcome Jonathan Copus.
Well, thank you for the intro, and thank you all for having me here. As mentioned, I've just gotten restarted and trying to get resettled in and reacclimated in the halls of the Senate, having just come down from USDA for the last couple years, where I was administrator of the Farm Service Agency, which I would imagine a few of you have heard of and know about, that has primary responsibility for implementing and administering the suite of programs that that Congress writes in the Farm Bill to help farmers and ranchers throughout the country under the kind of broad and general umbrella of the farm safety net. And, you know, I don't have a big formal presentation. In fact, it might be good just to get some questions out of you, but let me just start kind of some background on a few items. The farm safety net, as most of you know, is composed of a series of programs and include assistance to farmers in disaster situations, as well as payments to farmers for low prices and assistance through marketing loans and other matters to help kind of offset some of the risks and challenges that farmers face. Well, about every 4 or 5 years, and you probably heard this from a much higher source than myself and Chairman Lucas recently, but about every 4 or 5 years, Congress reauthorizes that farm bill and attempts to reevaluate the program, see how they're working for farmers and ranchers, and you know, make sure we're kind of putting together a suite of programs that not only work, but that do their best to make wise and efficient and effective use of taxpayer dollars, which is one of the big conversations going on in D.C. today is budget issues and spending of federal funds. So what we're kind of looking at now, one other thing I want to make sure I mention is that another set of the programs that I helped operate at FSA, that's a big part of the program, the Farm Bill, and certainly of interest to many, many of you who are looking to either get started or take over an operation, are credit programs, lending programs. And as anybody involved in agriculture knows today, the credit situation is a challenge. Land prices are skyrocketing. I talked to a couple farmers yesterday that were in a bidding war for about $10,000 an acre. I thought that was a little bit high. And rents keep climbing up with us. If you can't buy it, you got to try and rent it. And landlords see $7 corn and they start thinking, maybe we'll get a little bit more of that. But the Farm Service Agency and the suite of credit programs we have and we will reauthorize in the Farm Bill specifically target beginning and young farmers and ranchers to give you guys a chance to get started in the business, get some of the credit needs taken care of, because Lord knows that at those land prices, the cost of seed anymore and the cost of equipment, livestock going up, you know, the challenges pretty much build on themselves. So I, as I said, did a couple years of working on that, and then was crazy enough to think, well, maybe I'll come back to the Senate and try another go-around on the Farm Bill. So a few weeks ago, Chairwoman Stabenow asked me to join as chief counsel on the committee. And one of my primary responsibilities then is going to be helping to write this next Farm Bill, helping the Senator write this Farm Bill in the Senate Ag Committee. I kind of lax. I'm not always sure what I've gotten myself into, but it certainly should be an exciting and educational process. As I mentioned, the budget has really become the primary issue that we were dealing with in legislation. And from a farm bill perspective, we are very cognizant of that. We actually have a smaller budget. We're looking at a lot less funding going forward to write this farm bill than we've had in the past. And of course, you add on to that some of the pressures on mandatory spending and the issues where people want to cut costs and where do they target and how do they target that. Well, one of the things, so you kind of got those challenges in front of you, as well as the general challenges of trying to apply these programs nationwide across a broad variety of crops, a whole host of different farms and issues that face farmers. So let me give Chairwoman Stabenow just a bit of her perspective, and like I said, maybe I can take some questions on anything that you guys have concerns about or issues with. But the chairwoman has been very interested. She's very excited to take over as chair and very interested in writing a farm bill. She's been through a few of these now, the 2002 and 2008 farm bill. She was on the Senate Ag Committee during that time and did a lot of work on the production side. Last go around, some of the disaster programs were not only worked on in the Ag Committee, but also worked on in the Finance Committee to help pay for them and provide tax credits and whatnot. And so she was very involved with both of those. Also, Michigan is a very diverse agricultural state. In fact, it's the second most diverse state in the country next to California. And I thought I saw a Michigan jacket somewhere around here. So if there's a few of you guys over in the corner from the great state of Michigan. She certainly has a very broad perspective of agriculture. But while it's one of the most diverse, I think 125 different crops, they still have, their biggest crops still are dairy, corn, and soybeans. So a lot of similarities with many of the states here in the Midwest, and there's certainly some similarities with California and Florida and others. So we've looked at this situation and some of the challenges we have on the farm bill and some of the challenges with the programs in the past. And the chairwoman has stated that what she's looking at here is less a programmatic discussion or battle. And in D.C., you guys, if you haven't heard a slew of acronyms yet, you will hear acronym after acronym after acronym for different programs. Instead of getting that acronym-based battle, is it ACRE, is it SURE, is it direct payments, is it countercyclical payments, on, she's asked that, particularly because of the pressures we face and the challenges we face, we step back and we look at this from the perspective of principles, fundamental principles. What is it that is needed in this farm bill, whether it's a corn farmer in Michigan, an almond farmer in California, or a nursery crop grower down in Florida? What is needed? And that applies across the programs, whether it's rural development, energy, nutrition, and so on and so forth. So she's really pushed to step back, go to the fundamental needs. What are the principles, the priorities that we have? And from the farm side of it, the safety net concept, what she has been talking a lot about is risk. And anybody that has anything to do with farming knows that the number one issue farmers face is risk. My dad farms in Ohio. I always tell the Michigan folks not to hold that against me too much. We can get along in this process. You know, we was talking to him the other day about he's looking at you know, getting started in planting here this spring. And just to put the seed in the ground is $250 to $300 an acre just for the seed. You've got fertilizer costs, you've got fuel costs, you've got cost of equipment, cost of land, so on and so forth. Well, you put that seed, that's $300 right into the dirt and wait 6 months. Watch the markets and watch the weather and hope that that crop comes up and gives you enough of a yield and the price is good enough, you can pay your bills and hopefully keep in the operation again the next year. So that's kind of, you know, I can be simple about it sometimes. To me, that's the simple situation we're dealing with, that risk that farmers face every day. And the chairwoman's very interested in, okay, if that's the fundamental priority and issue, then how do we deal with it programmatically? And that's kind of where we're looking for this discussion to go and how we begin looking at our programs, evaluating them as far as their effectiveness on dealing with risk and what needs to be changed, updated, modified, so on and so forth. And the other issue that we look at that she's very interested in is this concept of streamlining and kind of cleaning up some of what's out there. At FSA, I think we operated over 44 programs. So for a safety net, that's a whole lot of programs. You got to wonder whether the dollars are are being effectively used across all those programs, whether we've got duplication, so on and so forth. So she certainly wants to, she's been pushing us to look at and evaluate programs, streamline them, and look for ways to get the efficiencies that will actually save money in the long run in the operation of programs. And from there, you know, we've got kind of a long journey ahead of us. We've got to start holding hearings, both here in D.C. and out in the field. And then we get into the wonderful process of writing legislation and going through the negotiations over different parts of it. So it will be a certain challenge. It'll be a good process, and one that I know she's looking forward to, that I'm looking forward to as well. And for those of you that follow this sort of things, it ought to be a little bit interesting. It may not be interesting to the bulk of people, but some of those of us in the wild world of agriculture find these things interesting. So with that, I think I will take some questions, if that's all right with everybody. If there's any questions you might have, I can try to answer them. But I think that provides a bit of an overview.
Five questions. Five questions. Starting right back there.
And I'll be brief. Yeah.